Okay, it's a privilege to be here this morning. And while Sandra is trying to get that up, I want to share with you a passage in 2 Kings. Just go there. 2 Kings chapter 6. Yeah. And that's just for a little background. My assignment here this morning is to talk about Bible study. And there's so much you could talk about Bible study that one little session could never ever do it. Mm-hmm. Because what I had in mind was to talk about, you know, the importance of Bible study. And then also how to do a Bible study. I am a product of Bible study. And what I mean is that because somebody studied the Bible with me, today I am a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. And it is very, very, very important that we participate in this. Now, if I should ask the question here to every one of you, how many of you can do a Bible study? Let me see your hands. So I am in the wrong place.
I'm a Seventh-day Adventist because I studied with Jehovah's. That was my first Bible study.
Where did you go?
Question and answer.
That's okay. Now, you'd be surprised to know when you share Jesus Christ in a very simple way, how people become attracted to it. There are many types of Bible study, as you and I would understand. You have the one-on-one, where you could take your Bible question and answer. Then you have a system like a Sabbath school study, where you study with more than one individual. Then you have studies that you might be in a workplace, and just sharing on the side, that is a Bible study too. So that you have what they call a systematic Bible study, which is one of the strongest, I believe. But there's a lot of groundwork you have to do before you reach to that point. When you get to the systematic Bible study, it's because you have already made the contacts with the individual, befriend the individual, the person has trust in you and everything. But I'm talking now about the systematic Bible study. How important is that? In my own Christian experience, even before I became a pastor, Bible study was my passion. When I became a Seventh-day Adventist, the very first thing the pastor encouraged us was to be involved in sharing what we knew. And I recall clearly that I would go along with somebody who was, I would say, an expert in Bible study, and I will sit with him. He will do all the talking. But I didn't know my Bible too well, but I would go through and turn pages and assist. And out of that, over the years, I could have given the Bible study off my head. The passages were very, very clear to my mind. What made that happen? It is because of being involved in the Bible study. You talk about a shy person. I was very shy. I recall when I got baptized and they asked me to do something in Sabbath school. It's a tremble. That's how it was. The very first, as the years went by, I'm just giving you a little background because I know that a lot of people don't want to do Bible studies, or not only Bible, but witness for Christ, is because they are scared. I was like that. And today, if it's President Obama or anybody in the audience, I could stand up and talk about Christ without any fear whatsoever. I have developed that over the years. I recall the very first time I was asked to do a Wednesday night prayer meeting service. I struggled and struggled. I prepared everything. And the evening I stood up to give the short discourse, when I went through it, it would have taken about 20 minutes. In 5 minutes, it was completed because of fear. So I know that many of us have that type of fear within us, even how to approach an individual to get a Bible study or to study with a person. There is a certain amount of fear. Before we get to this, I like the screen. It's beautiful. In 2 Kings chapter 6 and 7, I'm not going to read it, I'm just going to give you the story about it. It was a great, great famine. I'm just giving this story, but I would like to look in chapter 7 and verse 9, really. Look at this carefully, chapter 7 and verse 9. But I'm giving you a little background in 6 and 7. Famine. They reached the point that there was cannibalism. And the story went on to say, between two mothers, one mother said, I will boil my child today, we will eat him, and tomorrow you will
boil yours.
That's how bad the thing was. So in this famine now, there were some lepers. And they were besieged all around. And that's what caused the famine. And I want you to look at verse 9, what these two lepers said. And they said one to another, we do not do well this day. We do not do well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Therefore now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king household. What is happening here? The enemies heard voices of horsemen coming, and they just disappeared. They leave camp. Verse 10 said, so they came and called unto the porter of the city and told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrian, behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied and tents that were there. And he called the porters and told it to the king's house. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you the Syrians have, what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry, therefore they are gone out of the camp. So he is thinking that they are setting a trap. But the Bible went on to say that the two lepers said, let us go and tell the people. Because what they were doing, they went and they ate, filled themselves, they took gold and silver, and they were hiding, and they said, you know, what we are doing is not well. What we need to go do is to go and share what we receive. And that is what I want to talk about with us this morning. Have you received Jesus Christ? Has he done something in your life that you are withholding? Or is there something in your life that you want to tell people about the goodness of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? As it is said, if you should receive a cure for cancer, what would you do?
I'd share it.
You'd keep it to yourself?
No,
tell everyone. Now, Jesus Christ is much more than a cure for cancer. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is, if Jesus means something to us, what we need to do is to share him with our friends, families, co-workers, whoever we come in contact with. That's just a background to show you how important it is to share the love of Jesus Christ. Now, I go through some of these things here. Sandra, hit the first slide. Someone said, I hear and I see and I And I do, and I, now these are three very important things I want us to look at. What I'm saying here this morning, you might forget everything. What you see, you will remember. You will see Pastor Ali up here and you will remember his face and everything. But you may not remember much of what he says. But the last part, I do and I understand. So this morning, Sandra, if we would have a little time, sometime later, we could give the opportunity of any brave person here to come up and maybe share a little, do a little demonstration of giving a Bible study. Is that a big challenge? Would we have any such brave person here? All right. Okay. Okay. So let's go on here and see. So I hear, I forget, I see, I remember, and if I do it, I understand it. All right? So that is why it is very important. I learn from experience. Had I stayed in my shy corner, you know what would have happened to me? I would have been shy even today and afraid to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Let me give you a little shared experience here before you go. I was pastor in a church. By the way, I'm from the Caribbean. And, you know, in the churches, they put the pastor's name and the time for worship and all of that. It was a Sabbath morning. A gentleman passed by, and he saw the name, and he came by the church, and he asked one of the deacon or deaconesses, "I would like to talk to your pastor." They said to him that he's preaching right now. Could you come back at such and such time? After service, he did show up. After I greeted the members, he stood right there by the door and he said, "I would like to talk to you." And we started talking. And the first question he asked me was, he said, "You used to be a Muslim." I said, "Yes." He said, "You need to go back to Islam." I said, "I have found something better than Islam now." And we started to converse. And I said to him, "Why not? Let us study about this." And you know, the guy really agreed. He said, "All right." I said, "I will give you all the opportunity. You share with me Islam, and then you give me the opportunity to share about Christ." He said, "Deal." And we started studying. He shared with me for weeks about Islam. And then it came to my time to share with him about Christ. You know what was that result? This young man was going to be a Muslim imam. You know what is that, Muslim imam? A Muslim priest. And he reached the point that I asked him that if he would accept Jesus Christ as his personal savior from sin. He said he would. He said, "But one thing. If his father, who is a Muslim priest, and other relatives know that he is going to become a Christian, he would be in big trouble. Can you baptize me privately?" I said, "Yes, I could do that." But I said, "You have nothing to fear." I said, "I was down that road before, and I know." I baptized him publicly. His dad knew and everything, and that young man became a Christian, and he's a Christian even today. Now, what we have to do is that there are many individuals all around us who want to know about Christ. And if we withhold it to ourselves, we are denying that person an opportunity to know about Jesus Christ. You think they don't want to know? He was a Muslim. And I could give you many, many, many stories. Many stories about individuals who have studied with and led them to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing stronger or more powerful than this Bible. Amen. It's not in the person, but it is in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. This is what changes the person. Not me, not you, not anybody. When you study the Word of God and they see the love of Jesus Christ in their lives, what Christ is doing and what he can do, all they would do is to surrender to Christ. The only downside to it is when you're studying with an individual and they are not open and they are very defensive of what they know, it's very, very difficult. The Holy Spirit really have an extra bit of work to do at that point in time. But other than that, any person, it could be a Hindu, it could be a Muslim, it could be a Buddhist, it could be whatever, and they come to study the Bible with an open mind, there is nothing else they can do but surrender to Jesus Christ. I guarantee you that. All right? So that I hear, I forget, I see, I remember, so we're going to do so that we will understand. Next slide. Research shows that we learn more and retain more when we are actively involved in the learning process. So in other words, what is he saying? What we learn, we must do what? Put it into
practice.
We have a lot of learned people in our church, I would say. Really, really learned. But do we put what we know into practice? That's the important thing. Let's share some statistics here. It says that we remember 10% of what we read. How they came up about this, don't ask me, I don't know. This is some information I found. 10% of what we read, we remember. 20% of what you hear, so you will remember only 20% what I'm saying. But if you add what you read and what you hear, you will remember 30% by watching a demonstration. And a combination of two and three, you remember 50%. And if you combine number four with the writing out of what you learn, you remember 70%. I learned that by experience. I remember when I was in school, and you know the teacher just lectured. You remember so much. But I remembered carefully. If you write and you try to reflect, you remember much, much more. Then number six, it says, we remember 90% of all of the above plus the application or practice. So it is very important that we know about concepts and process and all these different tips. But the greatest thing is to practice what we learn. When that happens, we can do a lot. So the Bible gives us many examples of individuals who started their little groups or study groups, as we would say, in their homes. Bible studies in homes are very, very powerful. Do you know that the fastest growing church in the world is a church in Korea? Yeah, in South Korea. Dr. Yonggi Cho. I think it's over 1 million now.
Is it a Pentecostal church?
It is. The largest church in the world. And you know how that started? With 600 people with small groups all over the place.
They were women too.
What's that?
They were women.
Okay, very good. Good. Small groups. And we could do so much to reach people just by small groups. And it's supported in the Bible. We are not going to read those passages, but you could take note of it. You have Aquila and Priscilla, they led a church in their house. And the Bible tells us that they were what? Tent makers. But they participated in sharing what they knew. And the church grew. The church grew to great heights and lengths. All right? Next one. In Colossians chapter 4, 15 to 17, we are told that Nymphas of Laodicea had a church also in his house. Then you go on again, Philemon did the same thing. And what is the method of their teaching? The method of teaching. Jesus Christ is our master teacher. And if ever we want to be successful, we need to follow the method that Jesus used. Today you have all different type of methods. But I am telling you that the best method to use is the method of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 13, 10 to 11 and 36 and 51, take note of it, it shows that Jesus' method of teaching his disciples encouraged questions and discussions. Now, to be an effective Bible student, or teacher, as we would say, when you are giving a Bible study, when you ask a question, or like if you're doing a Bible study and you say, on the coming of Christ, how will Christ return? And you have the text. You should be able to explain to that person clearly what is the answer of that question. You might ask the person, what do you think is the answer to that question? But before you move on to another question, make sure that that individual understands clearly what that text is saying. If you didn't understand, don't move. Stay with that individual until the individual understands. When you do that, at the end of your study, you are sure that that individual had the information that is necessary for him to make an intelligent decision. All right? So it is very important that that is done. Go ahead. All right? Even in our study, we need to keep it very, very simple. Very, very simple. The purpose of preaching or Bible study is edification and exhortation and comfort. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3 tells us that. So the only reason why you study with an individual is to edify them, to give edification. And in so doing, the individual will be well informed in order to make a decision to the end. Now, there is a method that they use. I learned that in school, and I will share it for you. With you, you don't have to pay. This is free. I paid to get it. They call it a method of making candles, a process to make candles. The first process, it is said, is to melt, the melting process. Now, when you're presenting Christ to a person, the first thing you have to do is try to melt that heart. The melting process. How you do that? Would you start with the 2,300 days? The Sabbath, the state of the dead? No. You start with the love of Christ. Christ's love. And when a person reaches the point that they love Christ, when you present Christ to them, and you assist them to see the importance of accepting Christ, and they accept Christ as their personal Savior, it is then they are now ready to talk about Sabbath and other things. Before that, they can't. The only way a person will want to know about the Sabbath and these other things is after they have that love for Christ. When you love Christ, you will be willing to do anything otherwise. Right? So first of all, that's the melting part. Then the second part they call molding. Molding, right? The point that you're doing for molding now is the doctrinal part. The importance of the Sabbath, the importance of Bible prophecy, and all these different things. That is the molding process. So you have melt, mold, and third is make hard. Mold, melt, make hard. What is the process of making hard now? Here now, you are asking the individual to make a decision to accept Jesus Christ and to become a member of his church. That is making hard. And the only way you could do that, it is because you have done the melting process, you went through the molding process, now is the make hard decision time. Remember that those three simple steps. Melt, mold, make hard. Very, very important. Where we are? All right. So we said that edification is instruction or enlightenment. Right? That's the whole purpose of this study. To educate the person, to enlighten the person about the spiritual things, about Christ, and all of that. Exhortation is the giving of earnest advice or encouragement. Very important. Now we go into preparation of Bible studies. Preparation of Bible studies. The preparer of the study. Remember 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, let all things be done unto edifying. Choose topic that will edify, instruct, help, and encourage. Prepare notes with scripture reference and subject using the concordance and try to gather as much as possible on the given subject. In other words, what I'm saying here, if you're going to study with a person about the second coming of Christ, the preparer or the person giving the study must be aware, he must be knowledgeable of what is to be presented. He must always be aware of questions that might be asked so that he will be able to give a good answer. Now, by the way, when it comes to question and answer, if you're giving a Bible study and somebody asks you a question and you don't have an answer, what do you think you should do? Come back with the answer. Don't try to give an answer and you give the wrong answer. Be honest enough to say, you know what? I don't have an answer for that right now, but next week when I come back, or at our next study, I will share with you with that. You know, sometimes we go to give Bible study, and because we are giving the Bible study, we tend to believe that we know all, or that we have all the answers, and the person we are giving the study to just have to lick up what we're saying. Not at all. Let it always be a dialogue. A dialogue. Remember I said a question and answer? That's the way you do a Bible study here. I hope that we will have a little time that we could do a little demonstration, maybe myself and Sandra or somebody and somebody. All right? It's very important, very, very important, because we met with some of our elders recently, and would you believe that some of the elders are saying that they want to know how to give Bible studies? Mm-hmm. Could you imagine that? They want to learn how to give Bible studies. Much more our members. All right? All right, the participant in the study encourage the person to listen. Take notes. Make comments when there is a period for discussion. Maybe I might be jumping it a bit further down. But when you come to the end of a Bible study, always ask the person to make a commitment as to whether they understand what had been studied. Again, I go back with the second coming of Christ. At the end of the study, as you close it, you must find out from the individual, do you understand or have you understood what we have studied? Do you have any questions? You clarify everything. And if that person said, you know, I don't understand this part of the scripture because I still believe that Christ will come secretly, you don't close the study at all. You have to go back with that person and try to help them to understand what the Bible teaches on the subject. And that's why it is important at the end you make that individual, or you try to make the person make a commitment that they understand the subject. This is what we call in theology, a foot in the door technique. Foot in the door technique. It means this. When you ask the person, your first study might be the study on the Bible. Simple study, yet difficult. But when that first study, you're asking the person, do you understand that the Bible is the word of God that he has given to us? And you have that person to make that commitment. That's a simple commitment. What you're doing here, as I said, it is called foot in the door. You help them to make simple decisions as you go along, because what is happening in the long run, they will have to make a very big decision to accept Christ and become a member of his church. So what you are doing, you are preparing them in making these little decisions that would lead up to the major decision. If you don't do it beforehand, and you wait until the end after you do all the study, that will be a shock to the person. Very, very difficult. But if they practice to make the little decision, then it prepares them to make the bigger decision. In evangelism, we do that. The first night of a meeting, you might just ask them, if you need prayer, raise your hand. Easy. Then later down, you ask them, if you want to accept Jesus Christ, stand. Get a little easier. And then they come in a little harder now. Those who are preparing for baptism and would like to be baptized, please come forward. More difficult. But the only way you could reach to that point, you prepare them beforehand to make the bigger decision. So these are things that must be understood as we go along. Where we are, Sandra? Conducting the study. This is a good one. There are many forms and varieties of Bible study that can be educational and done in a respectful manner to the eternal. One form of Bible study is the Sabbath school format. The Sabbath school format. That means to say, it's like an open class like this, and you have what? A teacher stand up in front here, and you have a dialogue back and forth. In some churches, the teacher does everything, but that's not the right way. It should be a dialogue. That's one way. But when you have a Bible study in a larger group, let's say like this, or even quarter of this, there's an advantage, and there are disadvantages. And I'll explain. Now let's say I'm studying with these five individuals here in a group. And we're studying. And we reach to the point here now to make a decision to accept Christ. Depending on the individual, some might be very reluctant to make a decision because the other four persons are here with them. Because I might ask if you want to be baptized or whatever, or you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you mind raising your hand right here? Might be very difficult to do it in this way. But if I have a one-on-one with the gentleman, he might be able, because there is nobody around, more private, he might be able to say, yes, Pastor Ali, I'm willing to give my life to Jesus Christ even today. And then even that, you have some individual could say, let me pray about that. So then when I meet with him next week, I would ask him, did you pray about that decision? What was the result? No pressure whatsoever. He will be able at that point to say, yes, I prayed about it and I've decided. Or I prayed about it, but I think I need more time. And then we could move on from there. So there are different ways to deal with it. But I am saying that, you see, the one-on-one Bible study is the most powerful. Most powerful. All right? Study with a friend. Study with a neighbor. And it's very good. If it's a family, that's different. It's very much different. All right? The scriptures should speak for themselves. Don't try to and philosophize. The Bible says, whenever you say something, make sure that it is supported by the Bible and the Bible alone. All right? That's very important. The participant can often add color and meaning by stating what the scripture says in their own words and how it relates to their lives. I should have said this before, but in every study, there are three basic areas that need to be addressed. Just like in a sermon. Beautiful introduction. You have the body with maybe about 6-7 questions, depending. And then a beautiful appeal or conclusion. Three main parts. When you're starting a study, take for example, if I'm doing a study on the second coming of Christ, what would be a good introduction? Anybody could help me with this? Let's say we're doing a study on the second coming of Christ. What do you think would be a good introduction we could use?
It's really noisy.
What's that?
It's very noisy, the second coming of Jesus.
All right, okay. Would that grab the attention? We'll see. Because an introduction is something to grab the person's attention as to what will be coming on.
Deliverance from pain and suffering.
All right, deliverance from pain and suffering.
Well, I think you're going to want to start with some sort of an illustration of some sort.
Well, you know, they said when you're doing an introduction, you make a striking statement. Mm-hmm. Or you tell a short story. Mm-hmm. Or something to that effect. Or as they said, give an illustration. Introduction is to grab the person's attention as to what will transpire.
Many have tried to predict a date, maybe even you, on the second coming of Christ.
All right. So you put me on the spot there. Even I trying to, that could get the attention. No, I agree with you. Yeah. All right. So that's what you do in your study. And even at the end of your study, after you already made your closing, at the end now, what you do, you give a little preview of what will be studied next week. Because you want that person to do a little brief on what you will be studying next week. Let's say that next week, today you study the second coming, tomorrow, next week, or where the next study is going to be about
heaven.
Right? So you're giving the person a heads up on what will happen next week. All right? So that it is very important when studying with individuals, you as the person who is giving the study, be knowledgeable of what is to be presented. Don't take it for granted that you know it and you go there and you get some questions, you embarrass yourself. And when that happens, they lose trust in you as the person who is giving the study. Because they could see. They would see when you are fumbling and you're not aware of what you are saying and doing. They will see that. So it is very important. Make sure you study it, you study. What I used to do as a pastor, we had a little study book, an evangelistic study book. With 26 lessons, it fits right in the pocket. I gave Troy to print it. If he had printed it, everybody here would have gotten a copy. 26 Bible studies, the first one is on the Bible and you go right on, fit in your pocket. What I used to do, this is the group. We're going to study with people. So what we do, we going through as a group the first lesson before they go out, whenever they go out during the week. So everybody have an idea as to what is being studied. If they have any questions, we look at it and we try to make it very simple so that when they go out, they have an idea what to present. When they come back next week, we do the same thing and so forth. So there was always a study beforehand with the individuals and then they went out. For those who are very professional, you don't have to do that, but if you know that you are starting up, it's a very, very good idea. And never go alone. always go with someone. Especially if it's a female that wants this study, gentlemen, you alone don't go, please. Take another female with you and vice versa. It's very, very advisable when it comes to that. All right? It says that when studying the Bible, always ask and answer two questions. Take note of this. What does the scripture say when you give the text? All right? What does the scripture say? And what does it say to me? Two very pointed questions. What does the scripture say? And what does it say to me as an individual? When you do that, it helps the person to identify with the passage of scripture. They personalize it for their own lives, so that it becomes a reality to them, than to just roll through the scripture just like that. And the second coming of Christ, again, Jesus said that in Isaiah 25:29. Lord, this is our God. We have long waited for him, and we will rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Isn't that a beautiful promise? That when Jesus comes, we'll be able to rejoice with him? Then I might go with the other one. That what would the righteous say, all right? This is what the righteous say. Lord, this is our God. Then the other passage I would follow up with that is in Revelation chapter, I think it's 6:14 around here, where the wicked will cry to the rocks and the mountains and say, fall on us and hide us from the face of him. And I'll ask the question, which group would you like to be in? For me, I would say, Lord, this is our God. We have long waited for him. Won't you like to be part of that group? You personalize it. You personalize it. When that happens, the person will be able to identify with the passage. All right? Now, here are some common pitfalls to avoid. Common pitfalls to avoid. The presenter should not dominate the session by taking all the time talking. If that happens, you know what he's doing? He's lecturing. And a Bible study is not lecturing. It's a question and answer dialogue, as Jesus did. That's what he did. All right? Lack of preparation leads to a lack of learning. It says that Edison said of his inventions that it is 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration. In other words, is what you put into it, that is what you will get out of it. I remember times when I had to give Bible studies. Even though I had a very good knowledge of the scriptures, I would always, before I leave home, kneel down, pray, and ask the Lord to direct and help me to glorify his name. You wouldn't believe, before I came here this morning, I knelt down on my bed and I prayed a special prayer. Lord, as I stand before these people today, help me to glorify you. And help that we'll be able to learn how to be witnesses for you. Anything I do, I always ask the Lord for that type of guidance. And so also, when you are studying with an individual, make it a prayer situation. Never take it for granted that you have all the information and all you have to do is to share information. It is much, much more than that. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual warfare. It's truth against error. Light against darkness is a battle. Therefore, we need Christ in it more than ourselves. Christ must be seen more than us in all our studies. All right? So then, three, it says the participant who lead the discussions off on tangent can disrupt and confuse the others. Don't do this. Now, you know, this happens on a regular basis, especially if you are studying with an individual who is another Christian from another denomination, and you are having a study with them. They will put you off tangent so many times, you would have to be wise enough to try to keep them on track. You might be studying the second coming of Christ, but they want to go ahead and question you, which day is the Sabbath? While you're studying the second coming of Christ, which day is the Sabbath? What would be your response?
We can come into here to the next week. That's a good question.
I don't want to spoil the surprise. That's the story.
Good, good. And there are many ways you could deal with it. Commend the person. No, that's a very good question. Beautiful question. But could we hold that question? Will we be answering it in the future? Full stop. Because if you don't, what happened? You'll be dealing with more than one subject. The second coming, and you would have to dabble with the Sabbath, and at the end, they are more confused than before they came. All right? And you don't want to give them too much to chew because they will get indigestion. No, it's a fact. They will. So you don't want to do that. All right? So take note of that. Four, don't argue at all. Don't argue. Argumentation has no place in worship services. Love does not argue and seek to have its own way. Few have learned to allow others to believe a little different than they do. Respect people for who they are and what they believe. Show great respect for that. Because we were like that before. I used to be Muslim before. And what I was hearing about Christianity was east to the west. But because I wanted to learn more about this Christ, it made a big difference. If I took the position of defense or to defend my Islamic belief, then I would not have been here. But I was very, very, very open to what was being shared. And I recall clearly, you know, the pastor, after we got baptized, he didn't leave us here at all, at all, at all. Every Sunday, I recall clearly, and every Wednesday, he would study with us as a group. And you know what he was studying? Daniel and Revelation. What's at a loss? What's this? But then as time went on, I grasped it. So even from there, the pastor groomed us. He groomed us right along. And many of us think that once you baptize a person, oh, you got them, and that's the end. That's just the beginning. That is just the beginning. Because they will face more challenges now than ever before. So in this study, when you lead a person to Christ and you see them accept the Lord, don't leave them at all. Walk with them. Walk with them in their Christian journey. All right? That's very, very crucial. Okay? So it said, don't argue at all. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1-10, if you read that, it says that this should be our attitude in every group study. How many minutes do we have again? Oh.
One
minute. You see, I'm on time. On time. And in closing the study, the conclusion or the summation of what has been learned is usually done by the leader. Prayer and dismissal is then a natural process. And depending on the situation, sometimes a little drink and eat or whatever, but it's not too recommended. All right? So these are some of the things.
I'm wrong. You have another 15.
Have another 15? Praise the Lord, we get extra time. All right? Right, discussion. Now, let me say this. I could have gone through a lot more. I have PowerPoints to deal with so many things. I had one they call the Great Commission. And to show us that our role to witness is not an option, put it that way, but is a command from Jesus Christ. So witnessing to others is not an option. It is a command by Jesus Christ. And we must try to make ourselves available, educate ourselves, to prepare ourselves to be witnesses. Let me take him and then I'll get to you.
How would you handle someone that wants Jesus as their personal savior, wants to get baptized, but still is living with their girlfriend or something like that? They feel they haven't been convicted on something like that. Do you have to deal with something like that before?
I had to deal a lot of things like that. Yeah. Sometimes it could be jobs, sometimes it could be girlfriend, and there are many things. And there are certain passages that can be shared with individuals who said they make a commitment. In the truest sense, that person had not made a full commitment for Christ. They made a commitment, yes, but that is not a full commitment. When you make a full commitment, you cut loose of everything in order to follow Jesus Christ. And that is what you would have to do. There are passages in the Bible that would tell you, like leave father and mother and or seek first the kingdom of God and he will. And so many different passages. You have to share with that individual a little more so that they can let go or maybe not let go, but make things right in order to do what Christ said. Because when you love Christ, you'll be willing to do anything for him. And it's just like a girlfriend. If you really love somebody, you will do anything for them, even up to dying for them. It's the same thing with Christ. All right? Question.
What is the easiest way to find study candidates?
What a beautiful question.
What was the question?
What is an easy way, you said, to find people to study, to give studies?
How do you broach them?
Friendship first.
I guess.
Well, you see, there are many, many different ways to do this. Eh? We have people go door knocking. We have people sending out, door hammers. And there is no pressure there. Eh? That's no pressure. So if you send a door hanger to a brother.
That's cold and impersonal.
What's that? I know, but that's only one method. There are many methods.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There are many, many methods to be used to get contact. You could use individuals in the church. It's not everybody. Let me explain this, please. I did not. It's not everybody will be able to do Bible studies. Understand that?
Mm-hmm.
But there is some way that we could minister for Christ. Every member is a missionary. But that does not mean to say everybody has to go to knock doors. What we used to do, I would announce to the church, you will never get everybody. But I used to have a large group. And as a pastor, you think I used to go?
I hope so.
I always go with my members.
Yeah.
I take my wife along with me and my daughter along with me, and we knock in doors together with the members. A leader should lead. In fact, they say that you are not a leader if you don't have followers. So a leader have to lead. And that is a principle I operated on. If I am asking, you know, it's very difficult to stand up on a Sabbath morning and say to the members, at 4 o'clock we're going to do door to door. And then when they look, the person who made the announcement is not there. That's a lie, right? So I understood that principle, and what I used to do, I used to make sure I go along with my members. And it worked magic, magic. They were surprised. They usually say, I call pastors, and we talk on the phone. And they say, are you going out? I say, yeah, I am out there. So that's what I'm saying is, it is much more than a job, it's a relationship. When you have a relationship with Christ, you will be doing anything. So it's not everybody will be able to give a Bible study. Some will be able to influence friends to you to study. Some will be able to pray at the church or wherever while you are studying with that individual. But there is something for every one of us to do. There is no idlers in the kingdom of God. Everyone must be involved. Any questions?
One of the challenges that I've had is that we can do such a good job with a Bible study. One young man in the oil patch that actually was baptized, he was so excited because it all made sense. It all lined up. The ducks all lined up. And then he fell away for a time afterward, as much as we tried to nurture him, because I believe somewhere along the line, his heart got left behind. Mm-hmm. He lost the heart experience. He got taken up with the common sense. You know, it all made sense, doctrinally. Mm-hmm. How do you avoid that? Any suggestions? How can you deal with that? Our message is so good, makes so much sense, that we really don't even need to think about Jesus.
Yeah. Well, you see, what's that?
Preach personal.
Do you want to? All right, let's hear.
You know, I was attended a Bible study, and I was so blown away by the historical accuracy. That's why I joined the church. I didn't join the church with a living connection to Jesus Christ. And I didn't find that until later. And so that's where I think we have to blend with every Bible study, Jesus Christ.
Yes,
how much he loves us, and
yes.
How much
so how do you do
crucified.
That? Yes. How do you do that?
But that's what I tried to explain earlier. You remember I told you about three principles, three methods. The melting, that's the love of Christ. You have to build that relation. If you don't have Christ in it, you will walk away.
Yeah.
You will walk away.
And Marie, just to add, your own testimony, how you came, how God drew you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's your own testimony of how God drew your heart you can share in the melting process.
Mm-hmm. I'll be back here and here.
I was just wondering which Bible studies would you recommend, because not all of them start with Jesus. A lot of them go very quickly into prophecies. I have searched a few of them, and I find that by the way they lead, the people are not ready yet. They
haven't
melted their hearts.
I'm with you 100% on that.
And so I've searched a few, and I just thought maybe you have some you can recommend that you know.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a good question.
I have an answer.
I have no
idea. Well, let's hear, and then I'll come back.
Yeah, do you know our book 28, The Basic Beliefs?
Mm-hmm.
There is a little skinny guidebook that goes along with that for about $2.50 in the ABC, and it starts with the Word of God.
Yeah, all of them. Yeah.
Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God. And you get led right into a relationship with who Jesus is and what he does for us. Before you get to all the goodies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it's called In His Steps.
It's
In His Steps, it's called.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. In His Steps. There's also Come Alive, Stay Alive. Those are very much all about Jesus, you know, studies.
You see, unless a person don't accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we haven't done the job yet.
So
So then if they, if they're with the relationship with God and you're ready to go to do some doctrinal studies, which ones?
Well, you have like historicals and these different studies that would lead up very well there. Yeah.
Can I just add that book in His Depths? It's very, very intense. There's many, many verses.
Yeah.
And you can just take...
Yeah, you have to take. Don't try to overproof. Yeah. That's one thing. When you're given a study, never try to overproof.
Yes. I've used that study with children that are going to be baptized, mm-hmm. as well as people that really want to know it all. So you can just take a few, or you can take, you know, more and more depending on who you're working with.
Yeah.
And the lady in the purple sweater, I don't know your name, you said, how do you find candidates? And I was wondering that a few years ago. And then I read Isaiah, I'm sorry, is it 6 or 8, where the Lord says, who shall we send? And Isaiah says, oh, send me. And I found the Lord answered that in earnest prayer. And also the asking for the Holy Spirit, because the Bible promises whoever asks for the Holy Spirit, you know, will he give you a stone or did he ask for bread? And, you know, a third thing is, so you need to ask, you need to be converted again, you need to ask Jesus to do a work in your heart. And then as someone said, begin a service ministry. And then as you love the people you're with, they begin to trust you and they're open to you and they know you a little. And then,
okay, thanks. Begin a service ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Just down.
Let me just close with this.
Thank you.
All right?
Yeah.
It's address closing time, right? Let me just say this last thing here.
Yeah.
And then she give us more time than we do. As Christians, we have to prove God. He's there for us. And we have to go in faith. That whatever we are doing is not for ourselves, but for God. You will approach individuals and they will embarrass you. You know how many of that I got? But I kept going. And I remember, we went to a certain home and letting them know that we were just doing a religious survey and want to share Christ, love, and all of that. And as we approached the home, the wife came out and we said what we were about. And the husband was in the back, and he heard. And he said, ask those people to leave. So we were walking out. We reached the front gate there. And but the wife called back. Hey, gentlemen, you all come back. So we went back. And we explained even more what our purpose. And she said, come by and have studied. So we decided that we will go every Wednesday or Tuesday, whatever day, I can't remember now. And we went there and we studied for months and months and months. A family of about 8 got baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman who said, ask those people to leave, he himself got baptized. He was a minister of the Anglican Church. When you go in the name of Jesus Christ, you go. And I recall clearly what I used to do. Just before we approached the home, I used to pray, Lord, you direct. We are going in your name. You don't know what. And once you go with the Lord, he opened ways and individuals' hearts to cause you to study with them. If you pray every day, Lord, put somebody in my path so that I could minister to them, you'll be surprised what will happen.
Amen.
I trust by the grace of God that as we continue to make ourselves available to God and through His Holy Spirit, He will do wonders through us. I think we have in our next one, 4. What time?
I don't have the schedule with me, but we do.
So if it's the same group at the next session, we could do a real Bible study. Real questions, real answers, real problems. All right? God bless.
Do you pray for us?
All right, let's have prayer. Father, we give praise to you. And we thank you for Jesus Christ. It is because of him We live, we move, we have our being. And Father, this morning we are here all because we want to know more about you and how to share the gospel to others. You have already given us your Holy Spirit, and that is what we need to be witnesses for you. And I pray, dear Father, upon every individual here, on behalf of every individual, that you would be with them, that you would bless them, that you would inspire them, you would empower them, so that as they go back to their churches and their communities, that they will be witnesses for you. Mm-hmm. We thank you, dear Lord, and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.